Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming to church this morning, even when Pastor Mike isn't here. So again, for those of you who are guests in our church this morning, this is not the real deal at this moment. And may I invite you to come back next Sunday when you can hear Pastor Mike preach. I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject on the screen behind me, are we getting anywhere? Talking about the church, is the church making any progress? Or is it getting smaller? Is the church really in decline? Is the influence of the church in decline? Is it even facing defeat on too many fronts? Is the church worldwide looking tired, looking weak from your perspective? In part, I suppose that the answer to that question really depends to some extent on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist. If you're not sure, I know you all think you're realists, but if you're not sure whether you lean towards pessimism or optimism, you can nudge the person beside you. They'll let you know. I'm an optimist. I'm a biblical optimist. And I believe that the church is making progress. It is not facing defeat. I want to tell you why I feel that way and hope to increase your optimism and your gratitude to God. Hope that you feel stronger in faith than when you first came this morning. I want to give you several reasons why I think the church around the world is doing well. And so build a case this morning for great hope among us. Here's my first point. I believe in the sovereignty of God. There's an interesting verse at the end of 2 Chronicles. So I'm going to read this section of the Bible has to do with the fall of Jerusalem and time when of the Babylonian captivity. And then after that, the Persian captivity. And this is what the Bible says. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord moved the heart of the king. What's important about that is that the Lord moved the heart of a pagan king. So think about that. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon defeated and captured Israel, destroyed Jerusalem, took the Israelites captive. And then Persia, that's where Cyrus comes in, King Cyrus of Persia, conquered Babylon. And that's when God moved the heart of the king. Imagine that what we're looking at here is Cyrus, king of Persia, meaning king of Iran, freeing God's people, the Israelites, to leave Babylon, that is Iraq, and return to Israel to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the city. The Bible says over and over again that God is sovereign. That's my first point. That's why I believe the church today is making progress. God is sovereign and that he rules over the nations, Psalm 22. God reigns over the nations, Psalm 47. His eyes watch the nations, Psalm 66. We are to declare the glory of God among the nations. He is exalted over the nations, Psalm 99. In other words, God rules. He's sovereign. This verse says it well. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. In Canada, we also believe that God rules. Our founding father said, he shall have dominion from sea to sea. A question you might want to ask on this point is, are there any 20th century parallels to King Cyrus? Are there any modern day examples of this biblical miracle? Some believe, I'm one of them, that one of the great acts of God's sovereignty in this century is the collapse of the Soviet Empire, especially when you think of how that empire fell. I think we could say the Lord moved the heart of Gorbachev in such a way as to bring openness and religious freedom to Russia. After 75 years of atheism and communism, there was and there is now a significant degree of religious freedom in that country. Christian Missionary Alliance, many other organizations, have representatives in Russia, and they're proclaiming the truth of God. By 1995, the Alliance had 40 career, lifelong, language-learning families in Russia. One of those families is Linda and Perry Friesen, their children. Friesens went to Russia in 1993 from Western Canada. They have two children. I can remember watching Perry Friesen in Krasnodar playing the guitar and teaching Russian young people Christian songs and choruses. Today, as we're here today, the Friesens are church planting in St. Petersburg. They have been in Russia for over 15 years, ever since perestroika. One example of God's rule, God's sovereignty, God's intervention in the nations at the beginning of the 21st century. There's a second reason why I think the church is making progress. I believe in the lesson of church history. I'm going to go right back to the beginning. Christ's words in Matthew. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not overcome it. These words are very important. The very words of Jesus himself. So we have to pay special attention to these words. It is his church. He will build it. And he is building it today. There are overcoming or prevailing churches in just about every corner of planet Earth. A prevailing church is a new word for an overcoming church. A prevailing church is one that remains strong in adversity. A prevailing church is a church of influence for good and for righteousness when surrounded by evil. If there was no restraint on evil, restraint that is such as the church or government or laws or the work of the Holy Spirit, if the gates of hell were thrown open and evil poured out freely, and if God's people, his body, the church, were to suffer greatly and die in the streets, I believe that Christ's church would prevail and would not be overcome. To say that the church will prevail, I mean it will not be defeated, stamped out, or destroyed. In fact, I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ would increase, not diminish, if such terrible events were to happen. That's why one of our church fathers said, the blood of the martyrs, the seed of the church. I do not believe in a fewness doctrine. That is, let me explain. I don't believe that at the end of time, there will only be a few followers of Christ. Remember that angel that stood with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land and said, time shall be no more. So time will end. And when time ends, there will not just be a handful of believers in the church. I do not believe that Almighty God would send his Son to earth to die on the cross for just the few people. I believe that at the consummation of the age, there will be a great church, and that church will not be small and weak and tired, but it will be a grand church, strong and victorious. I believe that Christ died for a great church, one that no one can count from every nation, tribe, people, and language. More of that later. There's a third reason why I think the church is getting somewhere. I believe in the advance of modern missions. Matthew 24:14 has been a hallmark biblical verse for the Christian Missionary Alliance. This is what it says. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So while there are prevailing churches in just about every nation and corner of planet Earth, there are not prevailing churches in every nation. Not yet. But let me illustrate further this point about advance. Have you heard of the movement Back to Jerusalem? It is a movement started by three Chinese church leaders to take the story of Christ back to Jerusalem, further west from deep in western China. I have to sort of think geographically here. Further west than western China. It is based on the belief that the Word of God, through Paul and the apostles, and the early church for the most part, moved westward from Jerusalem to Asia Minor, Europe, the Americas, Africa, eventually to China, where it stopped. Now, those living deep in western China want to take the Word of God further into the stands. Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, I love saying these words, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, etc. Through the House of Islam, through the House of Buddha, back to Jerusalem. This movement of Chinese, Western Chinese believers represents an army of self-declared worms from the Silk Road, ants and termites, the people of God moving westward back to Jerusalem. This army is not small. It was represented by the underground church of China. It is strong in faith. They are accustomed to suffering. They are on the move. One caution. Because of the rapid growth and the large numbers of this church, they need sound biblical teaching. Spuriousness is a mark of this church. So we have Canadian Alliance missionaries engaged in this teaching ministry. Have you heard about the church in North and South Vietnam? We're talking about the advance of modern missions. Did you know that the Alliance has 14 churches in Ho Chi Minh City in North Vietnam? We cannot have more. There's a government ban on more churches and more pastors. But we do have 14. I remember meeting a very elderly lady who has assumed the pastoral role of her recently deceased husband because of the government ban on replacing retired pastors with new and younger pastors. She is not a pastor by vocation. She is not strong physically at all. But by legacy and by choice, she has become a pastor. When she stops being a pastor of this church, barring God's intervention, that church will close. In South Vietnam, you have the largest alliance church in the world. There are over 1 million believers attending many different congregations throughout Saigon and the countryside of Vietnam. And that church is called the Tin Lan Church of South Vietnam. Just about every evangelical church in Vietnam, South Vietnam, is alliance. To summarize, did you know that there are many countries around the globe where the national churches of the alliance are much larger, much stronger than the church here in Canada? Like the church in South Vietnam, with over 1 million believers. In Canada, there are less than 100,000 in the Christian Missionary Alliance. In Congo, there are 2,860 churches. In Canada, there are 425. In the city of Kinshasa, in Congo, there are over 100 Alliance churches. In Edmonton, Canada, there are 34. That's where the largest concentration of Alliance churches are. In Cote d'Ivoire, in the Philippines, all of these churches have far more, all of these countries have far more churches than the Alliance has in Canada or even the United States. So I believe in the advance of modern missions. Here's a sidebar. Because of these large national churches, the Christian Missionary Alliance is stopping to send missionaries to these places, like the ones I've mentioned. Rather, they are sending them to what we call creative access countries or limited access countries. There's a fourth reason why I believe the church is making progress. I believe in the growth of the church among new Canadians. You know that verse in Matthew chapter 28 well. Anyone in this church will know it. We're told by this in this verse by Jesus himself, again, his very own words. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, what's interesting about that word nations? Generally, when you see it in the Bible, it's panta ta ethna. Sorry about that. But ethna is a clue that will help you understand Jesus' command. What it means is all of the ethnic groups. That's really what is intended there. Many new Canadians are choosing Christianity, and many of them are choosing to be part of the Alliance family. In Canada, there are 69 Chinese Alliance churches. They are among our best churches. How do you define a best church? Well, I would say they are among our best churches, our strongest churches, by any count. Growing, good biblical preaching, strong children and youth ministries, new church facilities. Here's an interesting fact. 20% of all Alliance people in Canada are Chinese. Chinese people contribute $2 million to the $14 million Global Advance Fund budget. So they're part of us. This church has a good Mandarin-speaking Chinese church, and a good pastor meets Sunday afternoon. They are generous givers to the whole enterprise of world missions and evangelization. There's an interesting difference I want to pass on to you between the Chinese churches and our Caucasian churches. When the Chinese churches send missionaries overseas, that church also sends groups from the congregation to support them for years after the missionaries have gone. There remains, therefore, an ongoing relationship between the sending church and the missionaries and their missionary career. Let's move on. In all of Canada, there are less than 30 Vietnamese churches. Of these, 21 are part of the Alliance family. I can remember the early days of the Vietnamese church trying to get a foothold in this country. To buy property and to build their churches, you know what they used to do? They used to harvest worms. Late at night, the church family would load themselves into vans and drive to the Niagara region. And they would strap cans to their ankles and gather worms for sale. All profits went to the building fund. There are 18 Filipino churches in Canada. Let me tell you about one of them. In Mississauga, the Gateway Filipino Church is pastored by Julius Tiangsan. This pastor is also a community organizer. Sound familiar? President Barack Obama was a community organizer. And Pastor Julius founded the center, the Gateway Center for New Canadians. It's a place where ESL are taught. Young men play basketball with hoops donated by the Toronto Raptors. It's a place where new Canadians begin to adapt to our Canadian way of life. Recently, Pastor Julius met with the Minister of Immigration, Jason Kenney, and the Deputy Director of Citizenship and Immigration. The purpose of the meeting was to help reform live-in caregiver programs, which to a large part are really Filipino nannies working in this country. More recently, Pastor Julius met with some 20 community organizers and Prime Minister Stephen Harper. Prime Minister Harper and Pastor Julius chatted openly about the Christian Missionary Alliance. The Prime Minister talked about his home church in Calgary, talked about his pastor, whom we all know. Did you know that the Alliance Church the Prime Minister attends in Ottawa holds services with 4 different language groups in addition to the English-speaking services? There are 5 Iranian Alliance churches in Canada. 3 of these churches are pastored by Iranian Muslim convert pastors. I know there's a special place or corner in our hearts in this church for the Iranian ministry that is carried forward by Trans World Radio. And by now you've probably heard the remarkable story of the church member of the Iranian church in Toronto transmitting the church service and the pastor's message back to Tehran by sitting in the front row using her cell phone. No wonder, with courage like this church member in Toronto and the courage of the Iranian people in the streets of Tehran, it is believed that there are more than 1 million Iranian Christians that form part of a large underground church. There's a 5th reason why I think we're getting somewhere. I believe in the truth of God's word. I'm going to read from Revelation 13. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. Listen up. There's reason for pessimism. He was given power to make war against the saints and conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, says all. All whose names had not been written in the book of life. So there's a qualifier to that all, to that pessimism that you may feel towards the advance of the church. Because it says, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. That is, here's the qualifier, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then these verses in Revelation 7. After this I looked, and before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Now compare that no one can count to the all I just mentioned. That no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, and so on. I think there's reason, just from those verses, to have optimism in what is going to happen before the consummation of the age. It may be true the Christian church is losing influence in Canada. It may be declining in both size and impact. This is not true of the church worldwide or the church among new Canadians. It may also be true that the Christian church is the most persecuted of all religious faiths in the world. Still, it is on the grow, and it is making progress. There are reasons to be pessimistic, but I believe there are more reasons for optimism. I believe there are many reasons for hope, great hope among us, for increased faith, for thanksgiving. Then there's a sixth and final reason why I believe the church is making progress. I believe in the future of the West London Alliance Church. You can smile, because I'm sure you do too. Wonderful verse in Jeremiah that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." We have a strong vision statement at this church to make known the greatness of God. Don't you like that? It's so easy to remember, so easy to repeat, to make known the greatness of God. Further, I believe that we have one of the best preaching, teaching, pulpit, discipling pastors in Canada to lead us, with a wonderful staff. This church was planted in about 1951. So we've been here for over 50 years. What a history we have. I was called to be a missionary in this church. I love this church and its people. Right now we're in the middle of an exciting building and renovation program. We're reaching our financial goal. All this is good. I believe in the future of this church. In balance, may I say that we have some exciting challenges to which we should respond. There is a uniquely positive relationship between our pastor, I believe, and the students from the University of Western Ontario. I think we should capitalize in new ways on this relationship as much as possible. Secondly, even a quick exegesis of our community reveals that there are a number of apartment blocks on two sides of us, like a lot of them. I've tried to count them. I think there's 15, and cranes in the air. A lot of families moving into every single apartment block. How can we make known the greatness of God among those people? Question I leave with you. So in balance, we have a great vision statement. We have a great pastor and his staff. We're renovating, making our church facility bigger. How can we capitalize on the relationship that we have with the university? And what are we going to do about all these people who live on two sides of us? Still, I believe in the future of the West London Alliance Church. Action step, a la Mike Wilkins. Let's resolve to increase our faith quotient through the Holy Spirit. Let me read what's up here, because I think my notes are a little different. Let's resolve to see a decidedly marked increase in our faith quotient and a resolve to think prayerfully on how we might increase our impact as a church family on students at the university and on our new neighbors, both with the greatness of God.